complaining, and they want to make signed complaints, and they want to sign statements against some abuses that they went through. And this involves the police department, the BIA offices itself, like welfare, state welfare, but for the fear of intimidation or threats that they get, they're not going into Pine Ridge. That's why we set this hearing up in the district. And from now on, I think we're going to try and hold hearings in every district to try to resolve our law and order system on the reservation. And we have a guest here from Washington, D.C., and I think he's with the Justice Department, the Civil Rights, and I forgot your first name.
John.
John McDonald's. I guess he owns that McDonald's.
Hamburger stand.
All that hamburger stand. But I'll give him the floor for a few minutes and I'll let him introduce himself and maybe kind of explain to people.
Yeah. Well, I am with the Department of Justice, and the division in the Department of Justice that I'm with is the Civil Rights Division. We have a newly created office, I guess it's been in existence about a year now, called the Office of Indian Rights. And so the only thing that the office that I'm with does is look into questions of violations of civil rights laws, federal civil rights laws, where the people that are discriminated against are American Indians. I guess part of the reason I'm here is that I just would like for people here to know that we do exist and that we really are interested in looking into allegations that you might have if you feel that your rights have been violated. And if we can substantiate, you know, if we can get enough facts that indicate that rights really have been violated, then we'll go further from there and perhaps try to litigate a case. There are a lot of things, you know, I'd like to say right off that where you may have been wronged and you may feel that your rights have been denied, but they don't actually amount to violations of federal civil rights laws. So there are some examples that you might give us that we really can't do anything about. And I would like to, it's hard for me to describe exactly what things we can do and what we can't, but if you talk about something that we can't do, I'll tell you, because I don't want you to assume that we're going to do something and then be disappointed when we don't. But there are many areas, traditional civil rights areas, that we have jurisdiction over. If you've been discriminated in employment, for example, if someone fails to give you a job or fires you or fails to promote you or something like this, this could possibly be a violation of your civil rights. Or there could be discrimination in housing or in health care or in voting or in a number of areas. But we've had, and probably what might have triggered my coming out here, we've had a number of allegations of actions by so-called goon squad. And I'd like to say that by me using the term, I don't mean to say that it exists or doesn't. I don't know. I'm just here to find out what facts I can. And what people have said, though, are that there is a group of people who attach their political allegiance to a particular person in the tribal government. And we've had allegations that these people have threatened other people, have intimidated people, have beaten up people, shot into people's homes, and that as a result, people are afraid to voice unpopular opinions, perhaps to talk about consideration before the tribal council of a re-examination of the election that was held, or question of impeachment, or things like this. Now, whether these things amount to something, violations of civil rights, laws so that our office would have jurisdiction. I don't know. I'd have to get some specifics. But if people are, if people's civil rights are being denied and people are not allowed to have an effective government, then I think this would be something we're interested in. So the most important thing I can say is we need specifics. If you've been discriminated against, if somebody's threatened you, it would be very helpful if we can get the name of the person that did it, when they did it, and if you have any witnesses. Things like this are very important, because I'm not a court, and if you convince me that you've been wronged, that's not enough. We have to be able to take these things into a court of law and win a lawsuit. So any information that anyone can provide me, I'd be very happy to have. And if you know someone that's not here that has been harmed and they would like to get a hold of me, they can send it to me in the mail. And if they send it directly to me, I will look at it immediately and see if there's anything we can do. And I know a number of people here have my address, so if you want, I suppose you could give it to them, or if you could give them an affidavit, they could send it to me.
What's your address?
I haven't written that. He has my address. Uh-huh. It's
but chal a ta ko ke he ta ko a shi chao ni chi khone a shi chao a ki kha hene cha ya at a usula hena pasi ni na ko chi na ta ko yo ta shwa ste he tu e cha e chu he ye a ki a na wo na shu e tu to na shu witness e ta kho hena at a na tuwe chale hechung le na chajo na ha iye aki am hena e cha ta for pasif chung ka lan court ki ha ta ku le na itesh na heche tu na iye cha kya male heo ma kya kya am hea ta shne ha ish ish keo ha mi che tu ya ni ish cho ya hoga na lehan vichho khashin chai Lewa pasi he hogana taku complaining statements lena hogana ya yu ha ye chaba paste ka ke naha le taku kya ta se law and order chada ya welfare na taku kya sha le on hearing kose le kumi yiga chada sle taku kya le uki khaka Law and order. Actually, committees can share tribally come as Tonish Lechik Chitani hearing Honish Dodge. Chahanika July Hani District Secretary hearing you hock that don't care on a you won't go like on it or some Gulush Tamash. Atash to Tona got fashion child shook on Shina Kesh Day. Only Panajik Chichu did not work okay on the starting. Now, do I take on statement? I got a chin and winish the Jamatana. She won a team attack a legal worker when they need legal defense. Chai Scott, she got in the middle of that one. Yecha on a present Yakon, Ishna Kon. Lele ahi ota kona waagala kamota le record yona na ea ata yeche nakhtagi ota ya. Choya niepego ta kono hache le chue gale telephone a oe opo chi shi lau na lehonia na e bat 3 years ago sa na lehonia hai National police of Wachiashi Dranesh court el Doha court qua station chai. Ya henaki, ya taku kash there. Oh, hearing you up. Chat do I start off, Yanish? Nation who could get a lot, we call Pablo Lish, who housing in Aish, le hu ta ko cho ti ke ni lai ta ko complaints o te habe na wa ti ke tai na shna o ma ke ka cha shna wa mai o wa na ha witness is na ta ko i go cha ka na ma ko bo che na ik cho ma ke ka ble o i to ni o go na wi cha ka ma lo ke shna no ke de chun chim shne le e ai ai cha ko ni shu cha ka shka ko bi ko ne chun chim shne Jaya Nagana Kwai Vata. Jaya Dua Lila Chinkit, Chir Lila Hiyo Tako. Tako, Jaya Tako.
To make a complaint, but I make two complaints before, but no, they didn't even do nothing. So I want to make a complaint, but if nothing's going to happen, so I didn't do it. November 2nd, my grandson, Curtis Reddall, he's 16 years old. He went out with some boys. I don't know where they went. They went to Martina, where they have dance. And here's some Allen boys, they fought them. And they broke his jaw. So he can't eat. I took him to the hospital. And he was in a hospital about 3 days. To wear that jaw. And he is really thin now. He can't eat. All he do is drink, but still going to swim in Holy Rosary. And these boys that they done, I think they're over 20 years old. And that was all saying, John Debray, and here his name was Ronnie, Ernie, or something, Debray. They just told me that. He done that, and I want him to go to jail or pay him, or they ought to punish him. Because that's fighting going on every week, every weekend. There's no law in reservation. And I have been saying that for about a year now, because old folks like us, we don't want to run at midnight or daybreak. We don't want to run to someone to protect us. It's dangerous. Our life is dangerous. Even we used to go to Pine Ridge, hitchhike, but we can't do that anymore. We go look for food or something. We always go catch ride, but we didn't do that anymore. Because it's too dangerous to walk on the road. Because that Miss Far Place and always hitchhike. And here a lady was threatening us. She said she's going to run over us. And that was Gladys Ballion. And she threatened me. She was going to come over and break all my windows and shoot me. That was about 3-4 times she said that. She didn't come around. So it was dangerous. Our life is dangerous. I don't care if they kill me, but I'm old, so it's all right. But my grandchildren, I have some grandchildren to take care of them. And I go to church, and I go get my communion and all this, so I'm not afraid to die. But I'm taking care of my grandchildren. So it is really dangerous. They're after me, but they can't do nothing because I'm too old. So they were after my grandchildren and my son. They beat them up. My son was beat up. That was in Nebraska. And all this happened. And I'm afraid of my grandchildren. And now two girls, they have been threatening them because they said they were AIM girls. Now one of them gone. She didn't even tell me where she's going. She's gone, and I went to the police, to the courthouse, and I told them to find her. And they didn't do it. So I was wondering and weary and wondering every night. I was weary, I didn't sleep. I was worrying about her, where she's at. And now I know where she's at. She wrote to me. She wrote to me from Wounded Knee Legal Defense, Lincoln, Nebraska, where she's at. And the other ones in Spokane, Washington. I don't know how they get over there, but they were over there. Because they cannot go to school here any place in reservation, because they threaten them. And they, even our teacher, they threaten them, so they don't want to go to school. So they didn't go to school. They were over there, but I think they're in a safe place. So all these things happen. And there is no law in reservation, no policemen. They said there are some policemen, they're just wasting money. They didn't help the Indians, help the people. So it's dangerous to live in reservation. But then we have land and we were born here, so we can't go no place. No other state we can't. That's my grandson. No, because police won't hear nothing. Oh, if we told them, they won't do nothing. Some of them, their relatives, those are policemen, those are their relatives. The policemen have relatives, they can't do nothing. No, no, I don't report. Because I said there's no law that they can do nothing. No, we had. I didn't. Once I called them, we have to go down to the. Basin downtown to look for a telephone to call a police. When we call the police, they won't come until about 2-3 hours. But they didn't do nothing. Calling the Pine Ridge. No, they're drunk. I was just showing Marvin this morning. They next, my neighbor next to us, there's a Negro live there. And them are there drinking and fighting, and when they try to bother us, that time I call the police, and I made a complaint on her that she's staying with a Negro. Right now, he's there. And they throw beer cans in my yard. I had a fence around my yard. And there's some beer cans there again. They throw wine bottles too. And that nigger's kind of act tough. But we won't call it police. If we call it police, he won't do nothing. He might take up for him. So that's the one that I'll make a complaint on her twice. They don't do nothing. And that nigger, they're selling wine.
We have one case here that involved a deceased member of the Boston Fire and Standard Hills. His family is here. They made some statements, and we have a statement as well. Investigation to be done on the death of their father, husband, standard of law. And what happened was that he was beaten under here.
Changer de croquette là.
My name is Mike Littleboy, and I'm the son of Stanley Littleboy. And the day, October 3, when we was at home, my mom and dad were in jail. I was hunting for pheasant. They came on the show rave that my dad died horrified. So we went up there, and some guys told me that my dad wouldn't go a firefight, but some guy, Jim's Lake, forced him to go.
Who's Jim Lake?
Oh, I don't know. He must have been some commando operation.
Range manager.
Range manager.
They did a BIA.
Yeah. And my dad's, his health is no good. And his cops are teasing him about drinking so much, so that's how comes acting like that. You won't go. And the police officer should know that my dad's heart's no good. They should know better not to send my dad. And we went there, and my mom was there, and just my sister, and my grandma, and my aunt, my uncle, and my wife. We went there. Freddie Tobles told us to do something about it. I come back and I heard one friend telling me that Jim's League's been doing that, pushing Indians to other things, like going firefighting or a lot of things. Some Indians don't like him. Myself, I don't like him now, what he did to my dad. The BIA won't do nothing about it. They might just fire him or something. Tubus told us to do something about it. That day we went up to, that day my dad died, he's the one that told us to do something about it. So that's a come. I want to have something done with it. It's like murdering my dad. It's hard for me to be without a father myself. Because he's the one that, me and my father are the ones that are running the home. He's not around, so it's going to be hard for me. It's kind of hard. I got no father, and he's the only one telling me things to do, tell me what to do this or do that. It's hard. It's even hard for my mom. She's not eating in the morning, in the noon, or in the evening still. She'll be getting sick if she dies over that. It's going to be really hard for us. Because I got a young sister with me now.
You said that your father was in jail.
Yeah, it was at the time he was in jail. So this is Jim Lake went over there and took him out of the cell and sent him over there. My dad didn't have no firefighting card. He can't go to this firefighting or nothing because he's in medical.
Do you know if this happened a lot?
Oh, sometimes. My dad had to get out by just giving his blood away, a pint of blood.
Just to
get out of jail in their days. Just they do that to so they could get out.
And so sometimes as a person will go do that, they will knock the time off.
Yeah, for their days.
But it's a voluntary injury. In this case, it's a voluntary.
And on this, they authorized me to ask for a full investigation on this case here. And they said they have a ordinance where they can, in case of emergency, they can run over and get prisoners. So I asked for a copy of that. And finally, they told me that it was a horrible thing.
Who did you talk to?
Atkins.
Atkins?
Yeah, Atkins. That's his name.
He's a perfect.
The first time he went out. The other times when my dad comes back out, it's only that he gives a pint of blood away and It's the only time it comes back up. When he was doing the time he's doing time in jail, that's the only time when those cops go up to him and tell him some guy needs blood, and my dad doing is about pine blood, and then he comes back out. Yeah. Days.
And he gave him blood, you know, while he was in there for 4 days?
No.
Yeah.
That was the other time. He's been doing that almost since he was in jail, apparently.
And we had a meeting in our superintendent's office, and they assigned Cal Eastman to do a full investigation on this afternoon.
And that's where that autopsy report, but I didn't get it. They're trying to cover something. Looks that way.
An autopsy was requested, though. When we went up there, he went up there and he said that he wanted an autopsy right after we heard that he was dead, and he went to the hospital. He requested an autopsy.
I didn't get it.
And according to Mr. Brown, who questioned me at the police station, he said that the family had made a mistake and let the funeral parlor take the body.
I thought my dad was supposed to lay there at the hospital to get the autopsy report.
But someone at the hospital released it.
Maybe they're trying to cover something.
So as soon as that happened, that same evening, I asked for assistance from Bob Pencil, and he worked for it.
Well,
we have notes in our investigation which led to one particular man who was a trustee standing little boy inside the jail, probably quite familiar with what had happened, anybody would have. And then our investigation led to the fact that a week later he was suddenly dead in Nebraska. We have the man's name, and we tried all that week to find him, and then we met up with a distant relative of his who said he had a Nebraska of a heart attack.
My dad made some money, so my mom was supposed to get that, but she didn't get it. They must have forgot her just because my dad's dead. Yeah, my dad was supposed to pay him for fighting my fire, but he's dead, so.
Thank God, why did you tell me? just the old barrel, but Frank and Whitey got paid for the spark fighting. She put in for, his wife put in for a claim on his wages, firefighter's wages, but she never received it.
And we have confirmation from Frank Whitey that we worked with him. We spoke with him, so we made it, he was there.
He said that day at the jail that he didn't want to go firefighting because that day his time was up, he was going to get out that day, but somebody at the day went and told him at the desk to go anyway, even though he didn't want to go because his time was up already. When he gets thrown in jail, that they have his record, so they know that, that he's under the doctor's care.
It's got what spinal meningitis too, huh? It's got, my dad's got spinal meningitis, so he can't do nothing. When I went there, and I seen a lot of young guys, but there's some young guys there about my age. Why could they send them? So it was old people.
Those guys that they sent were all kind of old guys.
They're about my dad's age, around about 50.
You want to look at me?
Some term you use for when they're dead or something, a cold they use.
And they said, I don't know where I heard it from, but they said the ambulance was standing at that Madison Junction about a half hour.
Sure,
it was from, must be from inhaling smoke too much. Yeah. It is.
Expired.
What is cause of death?
Word expired.
That's how
they
came on the
shore to me. You said that was expired.
I don't know.
No, I don't think nobody signed
it. My sister signed the autopsy that for my dad. We want the autopsy for my sister signed that. They didn't do it for us. So somewhere on the hospital, somebody's covering up for the police department.
Did you ever get a death certificate?
Not yet.
Did you?
Something's going wrong. Maybe they're trying to just cover up. But that autopsy for my sister signed that because I was the one that asked for it.
When we investigated, the police told us that this is a voluntary program where a person who had been fined for some offense and couldn't pay the fine, was put in jail, could earn money by working and therefore pay his fine and get out of jail early. And they claim at the police station this is a voluntary program. But the information from the family is that he didn't want to go. Like Little Boy had said, they took only the old men to fight fires that day. There was one at Manderson and one at Scenic.
Interior.
I'm sorry, not scenic. And these men were taken to do that. And James Legg is apparently the range officer with responsibility for dealing with these fires. No, because we were unable to locate Leo Barrow. The police told us he lived in Pine Ridge. No one in Pine Ridge knew him. We later found out from a distant relative he lived in Nebraska, but he died approximately a week after this incident. That's what we were told. That's why we haven't been able to get a statement from him.
Around here, somebody get hurt bad, goes up to Carnegie, makes a report, doesn't tell anybody, her or him, or anybody, tell them to make a complaint, they don't do nothing. All you got to do is write your name down, that's it, don't forget it. But 2-3 months later, see that guy, they'll catch him, they put him in jail, next thing you know, he'll be walking outside. Like myself, me and my brother got beat up once. These cops, all they do is come down, ask us what happened. We tell them what happened, where it took place, and what time. They took it down. We asked those cops, like, what you going to do about this? We'll investigate. That's all they said. Some FBI's came down to our place and asked my brothers all kind of questions. Well, we'll do this inside 1 month. You know? We'll do something about it. It's been about 3 months now. They didn't do nothing about it. And like this guy that hit us, his uncle's a cop. He's the one that's been asking, when he took us to hospital, he's the one that asked us these questions. I must be a captain or police, I mean, yeah, something like that. And the chief, he's the one that went up there, asked us all these questions. And I told him that Rick kept hitting us. It's still at the house, and I told the cops, but they didn't go up there and get it. So we'll just go over and see what kind of weapon they use on you. I told him it's laying there. We keep telling those cops, but they won't do nothing.
saying that the people that aren't in jail, don't they have to have a firefighting card? Do they have to have a physical
examination before
they go firefighting?
There's an age limit on that too.
18?
No, it's 45 or something.
Yeah. My dad's what? Yeah. Dad, come on.
He was 54?
53. Yeah.
And even though there were people like, I mean, how do you call them, and the jail people? Yeah, even though they're prisoners, I think that they should be entitled to have a physical, you know, that doesn't make them any different, or they should have a physical before they go firefighting, just because they're going to knock off days just to get out of jail, because they're just human like everybody else.
And that Jim's leg can't bring my dad back to life, man. It can't, man.
Capable
of fighting.
And I take it he didn't have.
No.
See, my dad can't work. Let's go to sit at home, lay back. That's all he could do.
There are firefighters from the reservation who work for the National Forest Service and are flown out to various fires in the west here, as well as local fires. And
what?
All of those people have to meet stringent physical requirements. Jack Steele has set age limits.
Like, Your Honor, they've got some groups, firefighting groups. Why could they pick them up? Pick those up instead of the ones who are in jail.
And also, there's Jim Legg. Especially Jim Legg we're talking about now. They had him stuck in a ranger car. He was a cop body, he was no good. They got rid of him unanimously. And they put him back up at the ranger car. It wasn't even legal, and we were supposed to go there. Nobody gave us a vote. They just stuck him in there out of the chair. But he was undesirable once in one job.
What was the other job?
He was the head of the ranger. So we got in to do constantly. Do you remember that, Steve?
Let's investigate up the chair.
And he cares nothing about people.
Okay, talk about the ranger corps. What is that? Is that come under the tribal government?
Yes.
So he was head of that, but the council itself removed him from that job.
We removed him from that job, and thinking he was out for good, and first thing we know, they stuck him on the ranger. Mr. Wilson did that. It was. And that job was supposed to be advertised, and the council was supposed to act on it and review it, and we were supposed to elect the person that took the range management job. He was put in there illegally, I say. Because he wasn't efficient. That's what I mean.
And he threatened some of the tribal member that was working on that before. Russell Lothall was slapped in the face.
Yeah.
And he pushed the other guys around. So the council removed him from that directorship.
I don't really understand. Can you tell me what the Ranger Corps, what's the difference in being head of the Ranger Corps and then the job that he now has?
Ranger Corps takes strictly with the wild game, Buffalo Hall takes care of the reservation on that. Where he's at now, range management, they take care of all the leasing of the land, firefighting, police, and like that. We're similar to it.
The tribe has heard of Buffalo and Elk.
Yes.
They manage specially in special areas. And these are like game wardens. They take care of the animals, and they also provide, you can buy a license for $1,500 to go hunting them, and they go hunt them. And the other is strictly deals with the leasing of the land, the grazing land.
Range manager is under the tribe, or the land management is under BIA, Mr. Lake is now. He is a BIA employee.
Are they going to investigate what about my dad's death?
Yeah.
Are they going to just sit there and look back and wait for to come? Wait for them to see any of those cops and to bring up some kind of question. And then about 2 years later, to bring it up again, forget it another year, and go back 2 years, 3 years, and then come bring it back up.
That's a good question. I don't know basically what I'm going to do, but that is to listen to all these things and go back and look them over and see if I can find something within the things that you've told me that would give my office jurisdiction to do something. That's not a very good answer, but if there's something here that we can do something about, we will. If there's not anything here that would amount to a violation of the federal civil rights law, but would amount to the violation of some other law, some other agency can handle, we'll certainly make sure that they know about it. I'd like to be able to say, with every person that comes up, that, you know, this is real good, we're doing an investigation on it right now. I don't know, it seems to me like a lot of the things you mentioned could provide us with jurisdiction. But I don't know. And all these decisions aren't made by me. I'll make a report of everything that I hear. And I know exactly why you're asking the question. I know that there's been a lot of complaints out here on the reservation, and I know a lot of people have come to investigate them and have done anything about them. That doesn't mean that they should have, but they should have at least notified people who aren't being appointed. But, it's something that I just can't sit right here and tell you positively the Department of Justice will go out and do something with you. But I'll write everything that I hear from everybody that's here.
Yeah, I want my dad's case to be investigated from the top to the bottom. I should do something about that jail, Parish jail. Are you going there? That jail seems good. I was in there twice. I know how it is.
Do you know any other situations that might be going involved in? Do you know if this has happened to other people?
It must have.
We have a statement, John, about a woman who was a diabetic who didn't have her pills. They called the chiefs, in cold sweat, and got to know what was going on. And they called the jailer and said this woman is very ill, and she's diabetic, she doesn't have her pills. And he said,
Steel door and a little window.
So they couldn't see exactly who the jailer was, but he said, okay. And then they didn't come until noontime the next day to get the woman and bring her to the hospital, which, her condition was a lot worse. And these kind of situations happen over and over again, where life is very, very cheap. The conditions in the jail are horrendous, and we have statements to that effect in terms of the lack of sanitation, the lack of how filthy they are, the lack of food. People could starve to death in there. They have gotten enough punishment just by being in there. And it's a big joke for people on the outside who are jailing these people. No, and it's used consistently in a very political way. One of the biggest criticisms is that most of the people inside the jail are full bloods, and that there's very selective prosecution and law enforcement, you know, against mixed bloods versus full bloods. And so it's used in a very punitive way besides having anything to do with the law and the code, just in terms of the conditions themselves.
You actually have statements?
Yeah, we have written statements to that.
From the people that have given you the statements, have you allowed you to those?
Yes, we asked that we came before the hearings would have been held. We went to those people and said that we could give us permission to hand them over. Yeah.
One problem in jail conditions is there are a lot of problems with PIA jails all over. And I'm not talking about taking people to the hospital when you should go, and the other problems, the sanitation problems. You know. And there have been some investigations of those. And I know that what PIA said to us is sure, it's right. There's a real problem. Get Congress to give us more money. And so we talked last week with three senators on this particular thing. I think, as a matter of fact, I think it rose up under his jail. So I don't know what's going to come out of it. I don't know if that's going to be a result or not. But I know that there at least is an awareness of that kind of problem. But that certainly, those amount of money, they're just from running people.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it's
so
also, it's an education thing, John. There's a, I mean, the BIA has a lot of money which gets totally wasted nonsense or filtered off with other things that, you know, they don't produce anything for the Indian people. And, you know, it's also a question of allocations and what your priorities are. And, you know, I don't know who's going to give that kind of education to the people that make those decisions. But it's also, you know, the BIA is getting a lump sum of money. What are they doing with it? And where's it going?
I think our problem is in here with parents is that the last of my 86% is in salary.
See that? It's all kind of problem. Like even though 86% is for salary, the public is still underspent.
Did Del Eastman ever give you the report that you were promised?